Hey, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for my meditation on the scriptures for September 20th, 2020, entitled Fair Schmair, based on our readings from Jonah 3:10 through 4:11 and Matthew 21 through 16. From my days as a restaurant chef, I know what it's like to work the dinner shift. I know what it's like to watch the lunch crew waltz out the door at 4 p.m. on the dot off to their enviable evenings. Because we dinner dogs, who'd usually come in early, then cooked like demons for a nonstop five-hour dinner service, then had to clean up no matter how late it was. How we envied those day dogs, even though we thought we were better than them. And to add insults to injury, they were paid the same salary we were. Really? Was that fair? So when the first group of day laborers in Jesus' parable grumble, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat," I get it. It's not fair. I was one of those hard-working complainers. This is a hard parable. It reminds me of the parable of the prodigal, where so many of us identify with the older son, the good one who stayed home and did the work and never got as much as a weenie roast, much less a fatted calf. Still, I'm going to try to imagine myself as one of those people who were hired later or even last. Maybe they weren't people who just showed up late because they'd slept in or mooched away the morning over lattes in the New York Times. Maybe they were there bright and early, ready and willing, seeking, needing honest employment. But others got chosen first because maybe they were first in line, or they were younger, stronger, more obviously skilled, or maybe they got picked because they didn't have a prison record or a hard-to-pronounce name. Maybe they were whiter, straighter, male-er. Maybe they knew someone who knew someone. Or maybe some were late because they lived so far away or their kid got sick. But all of them needed the work. I imagine the mounting frustration, despair, anger of those last chosen as the landowner returned time after time and still didn't pick them. Listen again to the 5 o'clock crew as the landowner asks, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they reply, "Because no one has hired us." I imagine their relief when they're chosen. Their joy when they're paid just as much as everyone else. I can understand that though paying a late day hire the same as an all day worker may not be fair exactly. Is it really unfair exactly? And to whom? Because whether we see ourselves as the happy latecomers or the grumbling first hired, I suspect that it's not simply that we want to be treated fairly in our view, but that we want to be useful, of use, and we want to be recognized. We want to know that our contributions are acknowledged and valued, that we are valued. And that's where the complainers go wrong, because they assume that their value depends on another being valued less. But the landowner basically says, "You got what you were promised, and it's my money. Why do you care what I give someone else?" Why indeed? Except that it seems to be human nature. But the complainers didn't get less, though it seems they just couldn't be happy unless they got more than someone else. Yet we seldom complain about unfairness if we get more than we expected. We think we earned it, or it's owed us, or we're just, you know, better. But if someone else gets more, like extended unemployment benefits or an extra stimulus check or God's unfathomable grace, not fair. Think of poor Jonah. After trying to run away from God's call, after being tossed overboard into the deep blue sea, after 3 days and nights in wall-to-wall fish innards, Jonah prayed for deliverance and his prayer was answered. Not surprising, then, that when again God said, "Get up, go to Nineveh, and proclaim the message that I tell you," Jonah went and preached to wicked Nineveh. And Nineveh, wonder of wonders, repented and was spared by God. And Jonah, instead of being thrilled at his success, at God's success, but the J-man played his part in turning the Ninevites from their evil ways, Jonah is ticked off. "Why'd you have to go through all that trouble? Why'd you have to send me in the first place if you were just going to go ahead and be merciful?" Jonah seethes beside himself. And when last we see him, Jonah is sitting under a withered bush, roasting in the hot sun and grumbling. Maybe it's human nature. We naturally see ourselves as one group or another of those day workers. Maybe we've had our Jonah or Ninevite moments. But do we see ourselves as the indiscriminately generous one? Well, that's a bit harder. The story Jesus tells is about the kingdom of God, and the landowner reflects something of who God is, a God who values us, each of us, not for what we do or how hard we work, but because of who we are. The landowner keeps going back, goes back four times, so that everyone who wants to work gets hired. The Ninevites were condemned for their wicked ways, but the Ninevites repented and were spared after Jonah had gone to such trouble to announce their doom. How dare God be so dang merciful to such sinners, too? None of it seems fair. Or maybe it's extremely fair. The early birds were told they'd make a certain amount, and they did. Fair enough, as my British friends say. And maybe those latecomers weren't overpaid. Maybe that was reparations for all the times they'd been underpaid. The Ninevites were told they'd be punished, and they changed their ways. Oh, wouldn't we like a second chance too? And anyway, since Jonah apparently knew that God is so gracious and merciful and etc., what was his problem? Fairness. Justice. Mercy. Generosity. Love. All wrapped up in grace. The grace of one who is willing to forgive instantly and completely. Of one who, when the world leaves us cooling our heels, waiting with increasing frustration, anger, fear, despair, when we feel ignored, unchosen, unvalued, says, "I choose you. I need you. There's always work to be done in my vineyard. And you are just the one I've been waiting for." And this is also a God who won't abandon us when we grumble and complain and even run off in a huff, but who may ask us some very pointed questions. Questions like, is it right for you to be angry? And are you envious because I am generous? Speaking only for myself here, I do get angry, and I do get envious, and I don't know why. Is it because I do fear that there is only so much approval and appreciation and remuneration to go around? And come to think of it, that there is only so much saving love and grace to go around. And if someone gets more than they earned, where will that leave me? With less than I deserve? But if it's all unmerited, if, as the Canaanite woman might have said to Jesus, if a crumb is as good as a feast, why do I care? Yes, these are stories about the wideness of God's mercy, about God's unconditional love and grace. But we can also read them as stories of how we are to live in the world, how to think about economic justice and racial equality and gender equity, about how sometimes to set things right after they have been so very wrong, there is a cost for some of us. Then it's weird because remember those grumbling early birds didn't lose out on anything they were promised because others were paid well too. Jonah didn't lose a thing because Nineveh was saved. No one lost anything except their sense of superiority. Their sense that they were somehow better, more deserving, of more worth. They're not. As with us, we are not better. None of us. We are as good, each of us. We're deeply valued, deeply treasured by God, in whose eyes we are of infinite worth. And so is everyone else. Everyone. And we can grumble over that. We can sit and sulk. Or we can rejoice, which, by the way, will be, once we get over ourselves, much more fun. Thanks be to God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Amen.